I'm very pleased to welcome to FIRE Peggy Anthropos, who's an old friend of FIRE from the Caribbean. This is Margie Thompson. And Peggy, would you talk about looking back at all of the international conferences, and especially AWID, and there have been many changes, but it seems that some of the things are the same also. What do you see as far as the evolution of these conferences?
I want to talk about AWID mostly. You know, thanks that FIRE is still around. I want to talk about AWID mostly because it is so different from certainly the UN conferences. And throughout the 1990s, I was involved, because I was general coordinator of DAWN, I was very involved in all of those UN conferences. And, of course, I also went to all of the women's conferences throughout the decade. So the UN was my kind of stomping ground. I have a lot of problems with the UN. So the AWID conference is unlike anything. The only thing that they all have in common is that they bring together incredible groups of women. But the space of the UN conferences is not anything like the space here. And what I love about this space is it's very political. And you know that AWID wasn't always like that. I remember AWID when it was first started in Washington by a group of social scientists, women and development specialists who did work with the World Bank and the World Bank and USAID. And I went to a couple of those, and the last one that I went to at that point was a group of us walked out of the plenary when the keynote was being given by the head of USAID, a man who was basically insulting us meaning the South, saying that the United States should give more scholarships because the Soviet Union is giving scholarships, and why isn't the United States doing the same thing? So we just got up and walked out. And I never went back until Joanna took over. So when you're talking about AWID, you have to say before Joanna and after Joanna.
And you're talking about Joanna Kerr.
Yes, because she completely changed this organization. And I think it's just been getting better and better. And I haven't been to all of them. I didn't go last time, when a lovely theme of how change happens, but I was in Guadalajara. That is about 4 or 6 years ago. What I find particularly wonderful about this starts with the theme of the power of movements. Now, I had the privilege of being on the International Planning Committee. And that theme really inspired me to find a group of women from the Caribbean, women who had never been involved in women's organizing before, to bring them to this conference. I also want to mention, you know, why this is so significant is that the Caribbean women's movement is in practically dormant. I mean, some people would say it's dead. It really went into a kind of decline after Beijing, and I think that happened in a number of regions. But we just have not been able to revive our own movement. And I think it's a number of reasons. The resources are not there anymore after Beijing. But also, you have a new generation, you know. And even though some of us tried to deal with that transition to a new generation of leaders, it didn't really work in the case of my own leaving that space. But this year... there is a new interest in that. And UNIFEM is the leadership. I think UNIFEM all over the world has on its program the revitalization of women's movements. And so given that in the Caribbean there's new interest in that, and given the theme of this conference, I thought, wow, let me find a group of women who have not normally been involved. Because if we're going to revitalize a movement, you have to bring in new voices, not just in terms of generations, but in terms of new networks. So I looked specifically, I had a set of categories, you know, disabled women, we'd never had them before, indigenous women, gay and lesbian, sex workers, women living with HIV/AIDS, rural women. And so I put together a small committee, and I found women from most of those categories, not all of them, and brought them here. The assumption is that they will both be inspired when they meet people from their own networks here, but also that they would get to work across networks so that when we get back to the Caribbean, you know, we could meet again and together plan a whole, you know, for the next medium and for the next 5 years, basically. So it's happened. I have this group of Caribbean women who've never been to these conferences before. There's a disabled woman who says she's been to conferences of disabled women, but never with the general women's movement, and she's just kind of blown away by it. And she's an older woman. Then I have a young woman from the Domestic Workers Union in Trinidad. And what's interesting is that she's the granddaughter of the woman who started organizing domestic workers and who is a kind of a legendary figure. The grandmother died about a year ago. And we didn't, you know, when I wanted somebody from the domestic workers, I didn't know that Clotilde Walker's granddaughter was actually working with the union now. But the head of that organization, when I wrote and said, I want somebody from your union to go with a team of us to Cape Town, she said, this young woman, I said, by any chance, are you related to Clotilde? And she said, I'm her granddaughter. So it's just wonderful, you know. And they have been meeting, of course, people from their own networks. I mean, she's meeting women from North America, from Korea, from Turkey, organizing domestic workers. But they're also going across. So one of the things, that there are a lot of cross-cutting issues. I mean, the issue of HIV/AIDS is on everybody's agenda. So our rural women's producer network in Jamaica, disabled women, indigenous women, domestic workers, all of them have the HIV/AIDS programs awareness on their agenda. So even though we don't have somebody from the network of women working with HIV/AIDS, we have people who are interested in that. So they've been able to go across those, make those links between poverty and HIV/AIDS and violence and, you know, gender-based violence and so on. It's been very exciting.
So how do you see the participation of these new voices, new energies and so on in terms of their impact on feminism and the feminist and women's movement?
Well, what struck me is that, you know, there's a kind of a reaffirmation of feminism coming from these movements. They're the ones, I remember the woman in a wheelchair who says, I'm a sexual person. And, you know, so, and they're the ones who are talking about feminisms. It just reminds me, and I feel very strongly about this, that it is feminism that will energize a movement. I know how feminism changed my life. When I first got involved in working, as a matter of fact, setting up a women's bureau in Jamaica, Women in Development, I used to say things like, you know, I'm not like those crazy North American feminists, you know, they're kind of bra-burning, man-hating lesbians. Well, I'm exactly one of them now. But I realized that what was happening at the time was that the media's characterization, and of course right now the Vatican has labeled the feminist movement as the embodiment of evil, right? So, but without feminism, without feminist politics and feminist analysis, I don't know how you create a movement around women's rights and development. You know, so I think it's pretty crucial, and not just at a theoretical level, but at a practical level. I mean, I think that part of what we're going to need to do in the Caribbean in order to revitalize the movement is not just to find those new voices among groups that had been marginalized before, but we have to start from the basics of consciousness raising groups. We have to get right back to telling our stories to each other, understanding each other's lives, seeing the commonalities, the differences, and building that kind of solidarity that will allow us to move forward. In my book, I don't know if you've seen my book, The Global Women's Movement, I talk about these circles of organizing. And in my book, I talk about the smallest circle, but in fact, it's a coven. And I prefer to use the word coven, but I thought I couldn't put that in a book because that's too subversive, you know. But it is subversive. Imagine pulling together a small group of your friends, people that you trust, and together working on talking to each, just really building the trust that each of us needs. Anybody who's involved in activism, particularly on issues of gender and women's rights, is going to get into a lot of trouble. And a lot of, you know, so we need a support group. You know, we need a group of sisters that we can trust to take care of us. And then you can go out into the larger circles of coalitions and caucuses and campaigns and all of that.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.